Hey guys.
Hi queens.
We're back. So excited. I feel like a lot has happened
the past week. We skipped a week, but I agree. I feel like a lot has happened. It's felt like a very long week for some reason.
Yeah, so you were at Lala. How was it? Give us
Who were your
favorite sets? Oh, what?
Okay, I totally even forgot. I haven't even posted this at all, but like I was hit, I feel like, by the Delta outages coming back.
That affected you?
Yes, I feel like Delta on the East Coast right now is crazy.
And like they've taken a long time to bounce back.
And I'm like, Josh is like, wait, Delta kind of sucks. And I'm like, no, they're not usually like this. Like, I'm like a Delta apologist over here, but no, I'm like, you guys are kind of screwing up. Because, oh my God, it was just whatever. Like, they did everything they were supposed to, but pretty much, like, flights are getting super delayed because of, like, scheduling issues. Like, I guess that's why a lot of things are getting delayed, is the system, like, messed up scheduling. And, like, I don't know what that means. Like, I literally don't know what that means. Like in terms of, like, their teams and like who's coming in, and I don't know.
Yeah,
like there's shortages, I'm not really sure, but our flight was delayed, and for some reason Delta doesn't have a direct flight to Chicago. This was all coming back. Going there was completely fine. It was just coming back, and so we had to spend the freaking night in Salt Lake. I was like, oh my God. And they had to like do the whole thing. They had to like put us up in a hotel.
Like, they covered it then, because I saw some people that they were not giving like meal credits, covering hotels. But it wasn't like weather. But I feel like they can always blame the weather if they want to.
No, I know. I think like that they do. And I was really scared they were going to do that, because I was like, I literally cannot do this right now. But they ended up doing that. Just like weird shit. I don't know. Like weird stuff happened. Like the Lyft credit wouldn't really work. It was super weird. And then like we got this hotel, but when we got to the hotel, they had no idea about it. And they were like, it was a DoubleTree Hilton hotel. And they were like, Delta has been doing this to us every single day. We are so sorry. Like they are being so crazy. We did not accept this, but like we have like a few like, I think they had like a few like emergency like freeze rooms that they like have ready just in case something happened. So like, thank God we were able to stay there. It was 12 a.m. at this point. And so we would have been screwed if they didn't. So that was crazy. And then, yeah, we flew back at like 9 a.m. on Tuesday.
Dang.
Yeah, but other than that, it was great. That was just crazy, and I did get hit by the Delta craziness. Hopefully they figure it out in September when we're going over there.
Yeah,
but that was,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, it was also, it had to do with JFK, because we just don't,
I'm
like
sorry,
JFK.
F like JFK. JFK. Like, I literally can't. Like,
and I tell Josh that. I'm like, this is why we do not F with JFK.
We don't.
I think it was scheduling, but it was affected also by the JFK flight, because the JFK, we were in Chicago, but the flight that was going to New York to JFK, like, it was a flight that was whatever. Their flight never came in. And so, like, that flight was already still at our gate. They haven't even boarded yet. Their flight wasn't there, and there was like delays in JFK. So like whatever. It was like this whole crazy thing. Anyways,
like
glad
JFK
that's out.
Is messing everyone up. They always are, and it's like so crazy because they always claim weather. And then when we were in Atlanta, it was downpouring, thundering, and planes were still taking off. And I was like, JFK would never. They just would never. It's like one drop of rain drops at JFK, and they're like, nope. Canceled all flights.
Like, so literally crazy. Yeah, so that was really a lot, and I needed like 2 days to recover from that, because I'm like, I can't. But anyways, Lollapalooza was great. I saw my queen Chapel Roan, and I talked about her in the last episode, just explaining the Chapel lore. She was amazing, super fun. Also, Renee Rapp was really good. Tate McRae was really fun, just really good dancer. And then it was super cool seeing the Killers and Blink 182. Those were fun to see live. We got to see Mr. Brightside live. That was fun. And those were like, I think all the standout
ones. Was Sabrina there?
No, she was at Outsidelands. She was at Lollapalooza last year, and I'm so sad that I missed her. Last year's lineup was amazing at Lolla. But yeah, it was really fun. Like, honestly, Chicago is just a really fun city to be in and visit, especially with a music festival. I feel like it gives you something to do. Like, you do all the stuff in the day, and then it's fun because you already have plans at night, and you go into the festival, and it's just super fun. So yeah, we love Lollapalooza, and maybe we'll be back next year, but also kind of curious about like ACL. I feel like that would be fun too, like in Austin, Texas.
What's that one?
It's another music festival, and they have really good lineups, and it's in, wait, is Austin, Texas the one that people like? Is that like the young hip one? Is that,
am I saying this right? Yeah, okay. I think so,
but it's there, and they have a really good lineup this year, so maybe we'll try that next year. Don't know.
But yeah, cute.
That was my week.
What a fun couple activity.
I know, it was fun. We, like, went out till like, 4 a.m. at the club, like, just me and Josh, like, dancing alone. It was honestly really cute. Also, you guys, our average steps every single day in August, so, well, not now, but like the festival was the first through, like, I came back the 5th, so my average steps per day have been like 25,000 when we were there. It was 25,000 every day. I'm like, Alyssa would literally collapse.
Where, like, my knees and like lower back start hurting. Like,
oh yeah, my lower back, like, was actually like not okay by the end.
Like,
of
my
trip.
Knees start creaking and my lower back like aches it's like at that level. Yes. But like, I do it in Paris for Paris, you know what I mean? Know. But like,
the night we went out until like 4 a.m. or whatever, like that night, the next day, because we had the steps from like 1 a.m. to 3. That day, our steps were 29,000 for that one. It was crazy. It was so crazy. I don't think I've ever walked that much in my whole life.
That is so much.
Yeah, it was really crazy, but
I'm surprised, like, that doesn't hurt, like, Josh's knees.
Like, I know, me too. He is completely fine. This man wants to keep going, like, truly. He would not stop. He wouldn't stop if I told him no. And that happened, like, at 11 p.m. I'm like, he was trying to take us on this crazy route to see the whole river at 11 p.m. And I was like, I have to stop you right there, Josh. And then we had to go back. So, yeah, he doesn't stop. Josh loves to walk, and it's honestly a bit at this point, and it's really funny.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. While you were doing that, I was at home in my peaceful abode the Olympics nonstop. I honestly felt like the Olympics were so good this year. Like,
so eventful.
I watched surfing so much, and it's so funny. I think we talked about this on the last one too, where like each heat is 30 minutes and then you watch like multiple rounds go. So like by the end of the day, I've watched like 8 hours of surfing, and I'm like, where did the day go? But it's so interesting. You just like watch them. And so that was really cool. Swimming was really, really exciting. All the records and like just how close the competition was. And like, there was one where like Katie Ledecky like beat everyone by like 10 seconds. Like, no one was in the TV frame with her when she finished. Like, so insane. And all of like the teams and everything. And obviously gymnastics was so crazy. Just like the all around is so, like, they do these routines so many times. And I feel like people don't realize, normally when you do a normal competition, like in your state or whatever, you do your routine one time and that one routine counts towards like the individuals, the team, the all around. They are like spreading this competition out, and they do the routine. They have to qualify first of all, and then they do the routine for team to get the team score, and then they do the routines again for the all around score, and then they do them again if they make it into the event individuals. So they're doing the routine like 4 to 5 times when normally at a like a normal competition, your one routine counts for like all those things. It just counts towards all those numbers, which is so crazy. And I feel like everything was pretty normal, pretty good. The US, like, still won team gold with like a fall, I think, which is so crazy because that's ahead they were of everyone. I don't know. There were a lot of falls and stuff. So
I saw like the beam stuff.
Yeah, they were saying that there was just no music playing in the background and it was so quiet and they like requested music to be on, but like they didn't approve it or it didn't happen. So it was just so dead quiet and you could like hear the photographers like clicking. Like when it, then it becomes like so mental where you're just like in your head, whereas like having like distractions kind of helps. So
you don't you don't do a beam routine to music?
No.
Like when it's you were doing it, like you do it silent. That's so interesting.
Right. But normally when you're in a competition, all the events are going on at the same time. Yes. So you have people's floor music going on. If people aren't on floor, they usually just have like a background playlist. You have people cheering because it's like, oh, someone just finished on bar or someone just stuck their vault. Like it's just a lot going on, which is why they like thrive during team and all around, I feel like, because it was just so like hyped. But then when you do the individuals, I think they did 2 events a day. Like it was very like spread out, which is also so interesting. But yeah, with the beam, no one else is competing on any other event, so it's like so quiet. Music?
Why don't you want?
I don't know why they didn't. Like I think it was like the Olympic Committee choice. I have no idea. Huh. So like, so many people.
I feel like all the events should have music.
Basically, if you did not fall, you won a medal. Like all the girls who like did not fall, like their routines weren't as strong
or something.
Maybe, I don't know, it's the same beam they used during team and all around. Like,
yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Know. So that's crazy. It's just crazy. And it's just like one of those things where like, you know how they say like for swimming, like, oh, the pool is slow. Like people weren't breaking world records because the pool was too deep. Like they should have a standardized how deep the pool is because that affects how the water is. So it could be something similar with like the beam. Huh. I don't know, but it was so crazy. And then recently, like literally yesterday.
Okay, I saw a little bit about this.
They are taking away Jordan Chiles' bronze medal, which is so, so unfortunate. And I like completely disagree with it because basically the judges scored her routine wrong. So they submitted an inquiry into that and her score came out and like she was last, I think. So it's like when that score comes out, you know if you've hit the podium or not. And so I think I can't remember who was gonna be third. So she was already like celebrating. She was so excited. She thought she had third.
Oh,
and then they submitted
that.
The inquiry and the judges like missed something.
I think
like
it was
a
like
difficulty.
Romania.
Yeah. And okay. Then so they bumped her score up because they missed something, which took her from 5th to 3rd, which put her on the podium and then knocked the other girl off into 4th. So obviously that's upsetting because you're celebrating thinking you've won, yeah. You're running around with your flag, and then they're like, wait a second, hold up. So then they submit the appeal, and then Jordan Chiles gets the whole ceremony, whatever. And then I think you said Romania, I think that's right, submits another appeal to review everything. And then it came out that the U.S. coaches submitted the inquiry like 4 seconds too late, basically, because you have apparently a minute to submit like an appeal. And I guess there was some confusion or like they had a hard time figuring out like how to do it, I think. So they were 4 seconds too late in the appeal. So then it goes up to some Swedish court. Or no. Is it Sweden? Is it Sweden? Who's like the neutral?
Know.
Switzerland.
Oh.
A Switzerland court, this neutral party, and they decided to reverse the decision. And so they reversed.
Third.
So then whoever was going to be third, I think, is going to get the medal. But it's so unfortunate at the end of the day because the judges were the one who messed this up in the first place. Like, yeah. If they had not messed up her scoring and her routine, she would have had third. She should be third. Like, it's all technicality and, like, politics at this point. And it's like, at the end of the day, her routine was stronger. It was scored better. The judges messed up. And then it's like, it just, like, spiraled. But then I don't know. I think the U.S. is submitting another appeal, and I think it might go up to this, like, European high court. I don't know. It's, like, it so crazy. It sucks
because, like, televised. So yeah, like, she already celebrated the win. Like, yeah. The photos were already taken, and then it's, like, so they're going to give the bronze to the Romanian
so she has to, like, return the medal.
Get to celebrate publicly and, like, and actually then, like, be on the podium.
I guess the Olympics do, like, a re-medaling ceremony. Like, I guess this happens kind of commonly. I don't know how often they do this, but they do it, like, where people who, like, who's missed their ceremony because of something like this, they get to, like, have a ceremony. I don't know. I've never seen this, but I've just like been reading so blown up on this.
Social media.
But
though.
Then she's getting so much hate for Jordan? What? Like, yes, I don't understand. I think people are just saying, like, you don't deserve it because you didn't win. But it's like, at the end of the day, she did. Like, her routine was scored higher and the judges messed up. And now she has to suffer the consequences, which is just so, so sad.
Oh, okay, because I saw that she was taking time away from social media, but I thought because she was just really bullying her.
No, okay, she's getting, like, social media hate. And I'm just like, for what? It's like people who just don't understand the sport and, like, want to put their two cents in and feel
and
heard.
And people who could never be no, literally, at the freaking watching Olympics. From the couch. Yes.
So,
oh, my gosh, that's crazy. There honestly, was a lot of drama, I feel like, this Olympics. Yeah. But I also feel like this is the first Olympics that everything is so, like, so much on social media. It's crazy. Like, we could see tours of the Olympic Village and, like,
well,
all the tea.
Olympics was during COVID. So it's like,
oh my God, you're right.
There were no fans. Like, family couldn't go. It was just the athletes. So it was like a completely different vibe. Like, no energy, no hype. And then 4 years before that, like, yeah, I feel like social media there was wasn't, like, as crazy. So this year was, like, really the year, like, of
just so media. Crazy. Like, the Olympics are going to be changed forever, kind of. Like, we just have such a insider look, and there's just so much drama. And, oh, my gosh, and the whole Michaela Skinner thing. Is
That's
crazy.
Yes.
Just so much, you guys.
It's so, honestly, it's so interesting. Like,
I know.
I did gymnastics in Arizona, and I don't think I ever, I may have competed against her a couple times, but, like, really? Nothing crazy.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think so. Like, but, like, years and years and years ago, like, when I was, like, smaller, basically. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's just so interesting. But it's, like, if you're going to put opinions on the internet, people are going to respond. And, like, that's what happens. So,
yeah,
be careful what you say. Like, I don't know.
No, literally.
So, yeah, it's I feel like it's totally been a lot, but it's
been entertaining,
so exciting, and just watching people compete in their sport and, like, win and get so excited and be standing on their podium. Like, I feel like I cry every time someone's on the podium with their anthem playing.
Oh my gosh,
and they're just
so
emotional.
Many cute moments. Yes. Yes.
Like, just. That's
there is so, like, much. I keep forgetting.
Must be,
like,
such an amazing feeling. And, like, so many celebrities attended these games. Like, casually, you just have, like,
Lady Gaga.
Like,
stands.
Ryan Gosling was there. Yeah. Like, Tom Brady. A lot of the athletes.
Can you
like,
imagine,
Kendall Jenner,
like,
was at the Olympic gymnastics all-arounds, I think. Like, yeah.
Dude, can you imagine how it's going to be in L.A. in 4 years? Like,
oh,
I'm kinda
my
scared.
Gosh.
Apparently, they're doing some stuff in San Diego, too, at the Olympic Center, if that's
like
what it's
what?
Called. I don't know. Someone,
interesting.
Josh's dad said he read something that there's going to be some stuff at the Olympic Center in San Diego. I'm not sure. That's, who knows? Because it's 4 years away. But that's going to be crazy.
But I'm so excited already for those Olympics. I just love the Olympics, and I love how people get to just do the sport they love and compete on this world stage, and they just get so excited.
And they're, like, good role models, the ones we should be looking up to.
It's so, I just love it. I could talk about the Olympics forever, but we will continue to move on because we're 20 minutes in.
Yes, I know. Sorry,
and we have
guys.
Lots to chat about today. Our last update, you guys. Instagram is glitching the F out. Like, this past week, if you have noticed, your reach is doing weird things, if your reels are literally not being shown to a single person, What else? Like, I feel like there's just been so much going on.
Yeah.
So many changes, so many updates. I feel like they're testing a lot of things randomly at the same time. Like, the rectangular feed versus a square feed is like, people are like kind of seeing that.
I haven't seen that, but I'm so curious. Insights
are pink and purple now instead of blue. Like, I just don't get it. Like, we're messing up Instagram over that. Like, why?
I know.
I'm trying to think, like, what else? Like, there was this one day we were trying to, I think it was, like, last Friday, did we say?
I think Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. Where Instagram just basically stopped working, and I'm not on Threads, so I was not made aware of the situation. And I posted a reel at, like, 7, normal time. Like, normally I post 7:30, but I was like, I'm just going to post it. I posted at 7, and it completely tanked in the way that is just not a normal tank. Like, I know what a tank is, and this was not one of those.
This was not it.
And my reel had 10 likes in an hour, and the number of like views was not going up. It was not being shown. Like, nothing was happening. There was no movement. I was like, there is no way this is actually happening right now. So I ended up deleting it, which I don't ever really do, but like, this was honestly bad for my mental health. So I was like, this is coming down. So the cool thing is, though, you can delete and copy to drafts, which is my new favorite feature.
That's a great update.
Like, we love that one.
Yeah.
So I just deleted it, copied it to drafts, and then I ended up posting later in the night because I had a schedule for myself this kind of the end of the week. So I was like, I need to stay on schedule because I have things I want to post, so I can't delay this until tomorrow because I have something else I want to post tomorrow. So I just had to stick with it. So I ended up posting it at 9 p.m. instead, so 2-ish hours later. And I feel like it did okay, but it was way better than whatever was happening before. So I think Thursday there was some glitch that went down.
Yeah.
And
people were screenshotting
things are just weird.
That. Like, people were screenshotting their reach and for reels and posting it on Threads and saying like, don't post reels, like something is crazy, something is wrong.
Yeah, I didn't get that memo, so
I'll send it to you next time I see it.
Not okay last week, it's not you, it was Instagram. And we know this, like every time anytime they roll out a new feature or whatever, something goes down. But I feel like they're trying to roll out like 10 different things at one time, so a lot of things are just being wacky. Like, reels covers aren't like staying in the position you choose them in. My pinned reels are gone, so are they just taking away the pins? Because I don't like that. Like, my pinned post is still there, but my pinned reels is gone.
Same.
And then I spent the time to scroll to go find my pinned reel so I could repin them, and then nothing happened. I like went to pin it, and it just took me back to the top of my feed, and nothing happened. So don't waste your time doing that.
Okay.
There's like, you can add 20 photos to a carousel now. Seems a little excessive, but okay. There's just a lot going on. So if it was off last week, if you were off last week, it wasn't you. Okay. It was Instagram 100%. So don't feel bad about yourself.
True.
It's a new week this week. We're going to start strong, positive mindsets, like loving our content. And we're just going to post because we love our content.
That's a great pep talk for the start of the week.
And we're not going to care what Instagram is doing. So that's my mindset. But what is your current influence of the week this week?
My current influence of the week is really relevant because today I couldn't really think of anything else, but I did go car shopping today. I thought I wanted a Bronco, but then I just quickly realized after test driving one today that I went to go buy one pretty much. I went to go buy one, test drove it, and then I was like, wait, I don't think this is for me. It's so cute and I want to be that girl, and I know it. Like, I'm not her and it's fine, okay?
Love
but
that.
But coincidentally, I was test driving this Bronco at a Mercedes dealership, and then the girlie showed me my dream car. And so that is the one that I want, and it is the GLE 350 Sport. It is so cute, so pretty. So we're manifesting her because I'm not buying a new one. So I need to find the perfect little slightly used one. And yeah, I guess that's my influence of the week. Kind of random, but that's going to be on my mind. And I'm putting that out there. I'm manifesting her to come back to me, and I'll let you guys know when she does.
Love that.
How yeah, exciting. She's so you cute.
Have,
it's.
I feel like you have really good self-control, because anytime I've gone to a car dealership, I have gotten a new car.
That is
like,
so I funny. I was really close with the Bronco, honestly, because I just had it in my head that, like, this is my journey, okay? And then I'm really glad that I test drove it on the Mercedes dealership lot, because yeah, then I saw everything else. Because I was always like, that was always
the universe, like, was like car. Girly.
Like, I always wanted a Mercedes. Like, yeah, yeah. Like,
she was like, let me show you the way.
I know. And that audio in my head was playing.
And she put you in your car. Like,
yes. The audio of, you look lost. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I forget how it goes, but I hope you know what I'm talking about. That was it. And you know what? I should have made a TikTok. Maybe I will if I go back. But of that sound, because it was just, it was really funny. So I decided that's going to be my mom car. Okay. I am excited.
Cute. For whenever that happens. We can be Mercedes besties together.
Yes. Oh, and I did see the new G-Wagon in the dealership. It's so stunning. It's like $250, dude. The one I saw. I'm like, wait, what? Like, it was decked out though. It was like super decked out, and it was red interior. Like, I don't know what it was. Yeah, it was like really beautiful though.
Did you sit in it? I would have just asked to sit in it.
I should have, honestly. I don't even think I was like, it's not my time, so I just didn't. Their cars, love though, that. Are so stunning. I'm really excited to be part of the Mercedes family, whenever that happens.
Cute.
Like, it's just so luxe. Like, oh my gosh. Honestly. I've never had a luxury car before, and so I've never really been in these luxury dealerships, and it's just an experience. Like, I don't know. Like, the people in there were stunning. Like, it was great. Great experience. Loved it.
Love.
It's one by you, I think.
Love that, yeah.
Well, I guess maybe there's an Encinitas one, but anyways, yeah. So that's my influence. What is yours?
My influence this week is, I posted it on my stories, but I got a facial, but it was micro channeling. So it's very similar to micro needling. I get them confused, but basically micro needling is a lot more abrasive, and I'm so confused after getting micro channeling who would get micro needling, because I feel like the micro channeling was pretty intense, honestly. Like, you do the numbing process, and we did the smallest needle that they had, and it's more of like micro needling. You're dragging the needles across your face because you're basically breaking the skin so it heals itself and produces collagen and whatever. But micro channeling does the exact same thing, except you're like, I don't know how to describe it. You're like you're not dragging, you're like making dots on your face, basically. Like,
yeah.
And it's less abrasive, and it basically does the same thing where you put the serum on and then you do the micro channeling. So the micro channeling like pushes the serum into your skin, and then it does break the skin a little bit, but not as much as micro needling. So you're still healing and producing the collagen, and it helps with pores. And if you have like acne, it really helps to kind of break it up and clear it up. And micro needling is really good if you have scarring, but I don't know, it just would be so intense, I feel like. I don't know. So I'm really excited, and there's no downtime really, just basically the day you get it. You're not supposed to touch your face. It kind of feels like you have a sunburn, your face is red, but other than that, like, the next day you're pretty much good to go. Like, you can wear makeup, work out, like, truly do anything.
Yeah,
so I'm really excited, and I feel like even just right now I feel like I can already tell a difference, and I just feel like my skin feels so good. Like, I've never felt like this before, so I don't
know.
I don't know how often you're supposed to get it, or if you just kind of do it once and then take it. I don't know, but
maybe every few months or something.
Maybe, I don't know, but I'm gonna do it as much as I can. Like, I just
know,
feel
her
like
skin is glowing
so
right now.
so good. So yeah, I'm really excited to do that. But I'd also, if you are going to do it, recommend going to someone you trust and who is very good at what they do, because it is a very, it felt intense in the moment, but it's like they're poking needles into your skin. Like, you definitely want to make sure you go to someone who knows what they're doing. So yeah, but I'm really excited for the results and to see, because I've never done anything like this. I've always just done like normal facials, hydrafacials, glow to facials, and all that. So this is kind of like my next step. So yeah, really excited about that. So yeah, just a little self-care and trying new facial things. But I just don't know how to describe it, but it's just like, I feel like your skin feels like plump and tight and just
that's new. The best feeling.
I don't know, like that's how I would describe it. So yeah, that is my influence of the week. And I'm really excited about it. So,
I've actually never heard of that. So, good to know.
Yeah, the girl who I go to who does my facials, she's the one who's telling me about it. Because I was like, I want to do something. Like, I was like, I want to do microneedling. Like, I've heard really good things about it. And she was like, you should do microchanneling. And I was like, yeah, what like, is that?
Never heard of that.
So, I'm glad she recommended it. And, yeah. So... good 10 out of 10 recommend if anyone's interested, because great experience, great, and I'm really excited for the results. I think like they're gonna be really good. I have high hopes.
Yeah, I think so too. So, yeah.
Okay, well, it's been 30 minutes, so we should absolutely dive into this episode today. Yes. We are doing an episode on what we would do on social media if we started today. So basically tips for maybe you're new into the social media space, you want to be a content creator, or maybe you've been in the industry for a while and just need help on some tips or things to do. We figured we would kind of do the approach of what we would tell ourselves if we were starting today, basically, with all the knowledge that we have now. So, really excited. Yeah. Do you want to start it off?
Yes. Okay. This is like my number one right now, because my therapist actually gave me this mantra. Okay. She said, you control this platform. This platform does not control you. And whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, as we all do, I have to remind myself that, because it's so easy to let this platform just take control of all of your emotions. Truly, like one or two bad things that you see, or you know, if something doesn't perform the way you want it to, it can easily just make you spiral, or just subconsciously make you feel like you're not good enough. So I think remembering this, and then just doing things like, if you need to hide your likes, not look at your insights for a while, and following certain people that are making you feel not worthy or less than, muting people that you need to, doing those things are so important. Doing anything you can to have the control, and remember that the platform does not have the control over you.
Love that. Yeah, I feel like that's such an important reminder, because we all go through bad days, no matter if you have 10,000 followers, 100,000 followers, or a million. I feel like everyone goes through this. So that's a really good mantra. I'm definitely going to write that one down.
Yes.
Because I feel like also too, we're our harshest critics, because you never know who's like looking up to you and looking at your platform and being like, oh my gosh, Danielle has so many followers. Her content is so stunning. She gets so many likes. Like you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I guarantee you have
ghost
people,
followers, you guys. I swear.
People are saying that about you, and like, but you're like, oh my gosh, like, oh, today was so bad. Like, I can't believe this didn't perform well. But it's honestly, truly, I feel like about perspective, which is why that mantra is so good, because it's like, yes, there's going to be ups and downs. We know that. It's we always say this. Instagram is like a roller coaster, and it's like you have to not let it keep you down. Like there will it'll always go back up. So it's like just continuing to keep moving. It's definitely okay to kind of be upset and express your emotions over that, but don't hold on to it and don't let it basically affect you. Because I remember we would talk about, there would be days where like Instagram would ruin our day if our posts didn't do well. Like, our whole day would just be ruined.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is just no way to live. That is not...
Yeah, it's no way to live. But also, if you do have those moments, it's okay. I still have those moments. Like, we all do, and we're all human. But just remember that if you're catching yourself in a spiral.
Don't let it keep you down.
Yeah.
You know, keep moving through it, feel it, and then tomorrow's a new day. So I feel like that is important to remember. And of course, numbers matter. Yes, this is a business, and you know, brands are asking for numbers and insights and all those things, but no matter what, your mental health matters more than your numbers ever will. So I think that's also something to remind yourself. Maybe write it down on a sticky note, put it on your mirror. It's like, I don't know, at the end of the day, it's Instagram. It's not that serious. It's not the end of the world. Like, there is so much going on around us. And so I feel like that would be something I would tell myself if I was starting today. And I feel like that'd be a really good mindset to go into social media in general with, basically. Yeah. And just don't let it take over, because I feel like that's when it becomes not fun. That's when you start to put pressure on yourself. That's when it starts to become stressful, and then you burn out. And then, yeah, then it's like, if it's not fun, then what's the point? Because this should be something that's bringing you joy, that you're passionate about, that you're excited about to, you know, connect with your audience, to share your content, whatever it is that excites you. So if it stops being that, then it's definitely time for a mental health check, kind of figuring out like what is making you feel bad, and then taking action to remove those things and, you know, continuing to move on. So yeah, we all experience it. It's very relatable. So
yeah, I feel like that really kind of goes into our next one, which is imposter syndrome, and knowing that it's very normal. I feel like people with over like a million followers still feel imposter syndrome. Like, I'm sure actors and singers, like, everyone feels this, and it's okay. But also remember, you deserve a seat at the table, and that's like my fave little mantra. But just always remembering your worth. And I feel like it's really easy to get lost in the imposter syndrome and thinking you're the only one who feels it. Like, trust me, you're not. And we kind of just said that, but
yeah, it's hard in this industry because you'll go to events and you'll be like, why am I here? Or how did I get invited?
Yes.
All these people have whatever, over 500,000 followers, or like, oh, these are models. Like, why am I here? And it's like, you were invited for a reason. And it's always so important to remember that, even when you're feeling doubtful, you are there for a reason. And embrace that, and, you know, take the opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many cool things in the industry, and I feel like if you are building your business and networking and creating relationships, you never know who has an in where or who's going to invite you where. And it's like, maybe you made the right connection with someone, they really liked you, and they're inviting you to their event. Like, amazing, good for you. Like, they wouldn't invite you if they didn't want you there. You know what I mean? So it's just like, everyone has imposter syndrome. I feel like that's the thing about social media, is like, we think we're experiencing these things in our own bubble and we're the only ones feeling this way. But truly, it's so crazy, because I feel like when we first started in the industry years ago, people did not talk about mental health. There was no transparency. No. Everything was very like hush hush, gatekeeped, secret, like suffer by yourself kind of situation. And now, as the industry has grown, there's been so much talk about mental health and, you know, how to navigate through social media with that, especially with it growing and people having more spotlight on them. Whereas, like, that's just not normal. Like, if you think about it, thousands of years ago, like, your community was like a very small tribe, and those were the people that you're like, you would see day to day. And then now they say with social media and like so many people just coming at you with comments and notifications and email, and you just be expected to be on your phone and available to this certain amount of people is not normal and is a very new thing. So it's like, as humans, we were not made to be that available.
Yeah.
So it's like navigating that, and especially with social media. I truly could not imagine high school with social media. So I cannot imagine what people go through nowadays with high school in social media. So yeah, mental health is huge in this industry, and it's so important to make sure you're checking in with yourself, making sure you're feeling good about everything and not forcing it. I feel like, because again, at the end of the day, you don't want to burn out. You want to, if this is your long-term goal, you know, you want to get longevity out of it. You want to take it through the phases of your life. So it's like, you know, when you get married, when you buy a house, when you have kids, like if that's the goal, it's like you have to make sure this stuff is in check. Otherwise, I feel like it can consume you very quickly and then bring you down. So I think openly talking about this stuff really helps too.
Also, remembering that it takes a while to find your place on the internet and to like really find your brand, kind of. And it's okay if it takes a while to build your following, because truly, slow and steady, like, I don't want to say wins the race, but I would say slow and steady gets you a sustainable and engaged audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes you have these one-offs where you see people go viral and like they have a really big following, and I just feel like it's pretty rare. So if that's not happening to you, just remember this isn't built overnight, and slow and steady, truly, you will cultivate and grow a very engaged audience that is a sustainable, like more sustainable.
I feel like too, brands are kind of focusing more on that now. For some reason, I feel like every year, like, brands' interest change.
So oh,
it's
I
like
agree.
1 year, they're like, they don't care about insights, they don't care about anything, they just want exposure.
Yeah.
So like, and then it's like the next year, they really care about conversion, and that's the only thing they want to see. And you're like, whoa, that was a big switch. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the next year, they care about your female demographic number. Like, it, I feel like it's so specific, and brands, like, every year it changes what metric they're going by. But I think at the end of the day, like you were saying, slow and steady, I feel like, is always going to win, because it's better to have a smaller, more engaged audience than a bigger non-engaged audience, which is why I feel like I always tell people, like, if you have bots following you or just random accounts, like, you will always be better off removing them than holding on to them just so you can hit a certain number. Like, with how the algorithm works and how your content gets shown and pushed, it's always just better to remove them at the end of the day. So just know, like, girls with 30k, 50k make decent money these days, especially if they have like really engaged audiences. So it's like, you can make this your main source of income if that's your goal, and you don't have to have crazy you don't have to have a million followers to monetize. So just remember that if that is your goal too, because I also feel like people who go viral, it looks like they went viral overnight, but really they've been posting like a really long time, but it's just like, that's, you didn't know who they were. So then you find out who they are, and then boom, all of a sudden, like, you see all this growth. So I feel like always remember that too. Like, nothing is like what it seems, basically. There's always things going on in the background.
There's always like a lot of thought behind things you wouldn't think. Yeah.
So it's not like someone just showed up one day, decided they want a platform, posted, and then blew up. Like, that just, it does not happen. That's not realistic. And I feel like if that does happen, it's not sustainable. So just remember that.
Good
things to remember, because I feel like we definitely didn't know these things at first, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this person just went viral and now they have so many followers. It's not fair. Like, why can't I go viral? You know what I mean? Just like, I feel like it's so important to stay in your lane, focus on you and the content you're creating and your current audience, and you'll be successful that way. So
also, this is one that you can actually like practice and do if you haven't been, but video content is so important. And I really think it's because like platforms are really just trying to compete with TikTok. And when I say platforms, I mainly mean Instagram. So yeah, we've been new this, but I feel like still Reels is a really, really big way to grow. I feel like posts are kind of coming back to the explore page and being pushed as well. But Reels, I feel like, is such a great way to grow your audience in general.
Yeah. Well, so. I feel like if I look at my insights on my posts, I feel like it's like 95% followers, 5% non-followers. But then if I look at my Reels insights, I feel like it's the opposite. It's like 20% followers, 80% non-followers or whatever. So
yeah,
I feel like they both serve their purpose. So it's like your posts are kind of connecting and keeping you with your current audience, and then your Reels are expanding and helping you reach new audience, if that makes sense. I don't know. That's how I kind of look at it. And I feel like when I do see growth, I feel like it definitely comes from Reels. So I feel like we've kind of made that conclusion for that reason. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they're both really good to post.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like people say, we've talked about this before, but like quote unquote Instagram experts unquote say posting like 5 Reels a week is gonna really help you. I feel like that's just good in general for consistency, but if you want to have like a goal to aim for, apparently that's what they're saying. So if you can create video content, that would be super beneficial, especially if we were starting today. That is like the biggest thing I would tell myself as a content creator starting out.
Oh my gosh. When we started, video content there was not a thing. We had IGTV, throwback. And like our video content was stories. Like,
Yeah, no one really did IGTV. Like, it wasn't like all the girlies were, like all the influencers or content creators were doing this. Like, I feel like there were a select few. And
I feel like I dabbled in a couple just to like see, but
it was hard. I remember at first, like, it was really hard to put yourself out there in a video aspect because it's just more vulnerable, I think, but obviously that's
where we are moving toward. But then also IGTV, like, you didn't get reach from that. Like, it wasn't like
pushed, it wasn't a growth thing.
No, it was just very random. But yeah, nowadays video, I think video in general, because I think any platform really kind of obviously is competing with TikTok, but they say they want to see personalities. So video is a way to show a creator's personality versus a photo. So, you know, with TikTok and YouTube Shorts and Reels, like, they're really wanting people to kind of show more of their personality and be less cohesive and aesthetic. And that's where you can kind of do that there. So I think, yeah, if we were starting today, like, it would be like, do video content, prioritize video content. But I think you can still be successful mixing in posts and Reels, but it's like, don't miss your Reels.
Yeah.
Prioritize video over the photo. But yeah, we love a good photo though. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I just feel like right now video is king. So I feel like I always try to not miss my reel, or I try to think of something or some sort of reel just to stay consistent with reach and trying to reach new audiences and all that. So that would definitely be a strategy that I would implement for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then I feel like the next thing too is things I feel like we're always preaching and it doesn't change, is that consistency and quality are key. Like, these are two things that truly is what's going to help you grow your community and your audience. And I feel like staying consistent also shows brands that you're showing up every day, because mm-hmm. I feel like they prioritize working with creators who, you know, have live stories up. I feel like I recently heard that. And so I feel like I try not to have empty stories, because I feel like you never know when a brand is going to look at your profile. And I feel like if a brand goes to your profile, you know, during the work day,
that's true,
and you don't have stories up, like if I was a brand, I'd kind of be like, huh, like mm-hmm. why doesn't, you know, she have a story up? So I feel like that is something recently that I feel like I've kind of leaned into a little bit, is trying to stay consistent with stories, so that if brands are looking, at least you have something up, you know what I mean? But
that's true. I feel like whenever I go to someone's profile and they don't have a story up, I'm like,
right, huh. Right, exactly. Like, so it's like take that to another level if you're the brand, and maybe the brand is like looking at creators they want to work with. They're trying to narrow it down, and it's like, oh, well, this girl doesn't have a story up right now. Like, I don't know what she's up to. I don't know what, you know. But then say a different creator has like two stories up. It's like, oh, okay, well, she's being consistent with that. So that is something new that I have been thinking about, that I feel like could potentially help your strategy if you want to add that. But I think that just goes with being consistent and, you know, showing up for your community and, you know, doing that, but also maintaining the quality too. Like, never force anything, never just throw something up to, you know, check that box. Oh, I just need to have a story up. You know, make sure you still have, you know, intent or like a plan behind what you're sharing, and, you know, building that relationship with your community. So
yeah, and I feel like the algorithm really rewards consistency, and I feel like we've talked about this, but like, me and Alyssa have talked about this, but we feel that this is like really the barrier to entry in this industry, because a lot of people will go at it for a couple of months, years, whatever, and then when they don't see the insights they want to see, they'll just kind of like slowly taper off, and people are kind of just like, wait, where'd you go? And then they'll find someone else to love and rely on and get their inspiration from, and then maybe you'll come back, but then, you know, that ship's already set. I don't know. It's just so... it is really, I feel, a barrier to entry to like being very consistent and always having that kind of, not expectation, having your audience be able to rely on you is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and I feel like too, the crazy thing is it is like basically up to you, you know, your barrier to entry is nothing is stopping you besides you. So it's like, you're the one who decides if you're going to show up or not. And it's like the creators who, you know, we've seen this. Truly, we've seen girls grow their accounts to 100K, and then they would get crazy engagement because the algorithm is up and down. And then they would go through a down period, but their down is still like decent engagement, but they were so used to that high and they haven't really experienced the ups and the downs yet, that when they went down, they didn't stick with it through the low to get back to the high, and they just like quit their account or like try to start a new account or something, and they don't stick with it and stay consistent. And then, yeah, they kind of just burn out because it's like you built this whole audience and then you literally just up and stop.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like the engagement wasn't bad. Like, it just wasn't crazy, crazy high. But it's like that roller coaster that sometimes people just, they can't stay on it. They have to get off the roller coaster ride, and that's the barrier. And it's truly up to you. So it's like, if you're willing to stick with it, to stay on this roller coaster that, you know, we choose to ride every single day, and we don't know if it's going up or down, but, you know, as long as you stay on it, then like it's gonna work out. I feel
we're
like
we're currently on the roller coaster, like upside down. We're currently in a twisting. Period.
Like, we're like, it's like twisting. You know when it does that like little spiral thing? We're on the spiral then, upside down.
Yes, yes. And like the maintenance workers are like trying to fix it, and we're yeah. like hanging upside down. So yeah. if you resonate with that, just keep holding on. Keep your seat.
Keep your seatbelt on. Don't get out. It'll be okay.
Yeah. And like no one's looking going. At you because no, everyone truly, else they're is worried also about themselves. Stuck in the seat too. This is a yes. great analogy, honestly.
Everyone else is also stuck and concerned upside about down. Their own stuff. Yeah. So continue to just show up for yourself, show up for your audience. I feel like engage with other creators. It'll yeah. be reciprocated back. And once it gets fixed, you know, it'll be like smooth riding yeah. for a little bit, you know? So yes, that's how hopefully. We like to think of it. But I think too, it's just like at the end of the day, you just have to make sure that you find something that is unique to you, or you're able to put your personal touch or spin on things so that people can remember you. And it's like having your own kind of branding, like what is your thing? What are you known for? And I feel like if you don't know the answer to this question, you could put up a question box and ask your audience, like, yeah, that's what am I known idea. For? Like, what do you associate with me? There was one that went around that I really wanted to do that I forgot to do, but it was like, what is, and then for me, like, I would say, like, what is Alyssa Coded? Like, what does that mean to you guys? Like, what?
Ooh, I didn't see that.
You know
that.
What I mean? I only saw a couple people do it, but I thought that was such a good idea, and it could help you if you're not sure like what your thing is, or you're feeling a little lost. Like, what are you known for? What do people see you as? I feel like that's a positive way to ask it.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good to, like, idea.
Because people ask like, oh, what do you want to see more of? Or like, what don't you like? I feel like people are too scared to answer those questions.
I know. So, like, I feel like I wouldn't. Because, like,
oh,
I don't know.
Oh, gosh, no. I know. And you're like, I don't know you that well. Like, I don't want to say something potentially yeah. mean that could hurt your feelings. I don't yeah. know. So I feel like this is a good way to ask, like, what is Alyssa Coded?
That, yeah,
and that see what is people respond. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's good. I saw I was listening to a podcast from, this is so random, but he used to work at Spotify, and he would work with like the artists and stuff, and like strategy to like blow them up and stuff. But pretty much he said that like the most famous artists are artists that anyone could dress up as for Halloween. And if you can't do that, then your branding isn't strong enough. And that's how the artists go about.
Interesting.
And like, obviously that's like really extreme for what we're doing, but I don't know. I feel like that's stuck with me, and I'm like, that is so true.
Well,
like
it comes down to like your personal branding and like what you're yes. known for. So I feel like with summer, like we've seen like Sabrina Carpenter and like the bangs and the pink blush, you
oh
know
God,
what I mean?
Yeah. And so like Chapel like Roan is so out there. Anyone could dress up as her. But then like, yeah, there's artists that aren't as famous that it's true. Like their branding just isn't strong enough, and I just don't think it leaves like that. Like you don't remember them as much as you would people with a really strong branding. So I feel like this is something really good to focus on, to lean in on, to just kind of play around, see what sticks. Sometimes you don't even know, and then your audience will mm-hmm. tell you, or something will just stick. Like for me, it was pink. Like at first I wasn't going for that, and like that just stuck with my audience. Like they loved it, and so I kept going with it, and I was like, this is something I genuinely love for myself. I used to wear pink like every single day when I was little. Like this is my favorite color ever. So like slay, like thanks for helping mm-hmm. me guys. So just like that's a little example, but finding yeah. something specific.
That's such a good way yeah. to think about it, honestly. Like, if someone were to dress up as you for Halloween,
yes,
what would they wear? And it's basically just like, what are you known for?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow. Okay. Interesting.
I know. I was thinking about that.
That's
like
a good journal prompt. Like
Taylor Swift. Like, first of all, so every many. Single era she's done like has had core branding every single era, mm-hmm. literally every single one. So Branding is so, I think, subconscious and small, and you wouldn't think a lot goes into it because it's so unique to that person, but a lot goes into it, I think.
Yeah, that's how, I feel like that's, like, it goes back to marketing, and I feel like sometimes companies don't take marketing departments seriously, but I feel like your marketing department could truly make or break your brand. Mm-hmm. And marketing people should get more acknowledgement because what they're doing is so hard. Seriously. And like you have to keep coming up with new ideas and concepts all the time when everything's been done. So
yeah,
super, super interesting way to put it. I really, really like that. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the next thing too is just having confidence in this industry in general will get you far. And obviously, confidence is very hard at the beginning when you're new at something, or maybe you're not that good at it yet, and starting something new is very intimidating and very scary to do. But I feel like there are ways where you can be confident as you're learning. So one of the things for us is definitely saying our mantras. You guys hear us say that all the time. We have Truly a Mantras episode that we refer back to all the time because we love it so much. And I feel like it's one of our most important episodes. And it's just, I feel like I can't remember. Maybe if I keep talking, I'll remember. But there's that one, what's his name? Shoot, that's going to bother me now. But it's the guy who says, like, confidence is keeping promises to yourself.
Oh, I've heard like
that. Is that Ed Milet? I've heard that quote before. I think it's Ed Milet. Oh,
yes, it is.
And he basically, in order to build confidence, you have to keep your promises to yourself. So if you say you're going to do something, you have to follow through and do it for yourself to prove to yourself that you can trust yourself and be confident. And it could be truly the smallest things. Yeah. Like today I'm going to, I don't know, check 3 things off my to-do list.
Yeah.
Like, okay, then do it. You know what I mean? Like, prove to yourself you can do it. And I feel like the industry is the same way. Like, if you're going to an event, you can say, like, hey, okay, I'm going to say hi to the brand contact and talk to 2 girls. Just like...
Great goals. Small, goals to, achievable goals.
Exactly. But those are things that'll build your confidence. So while you're saying your mantras and you're hyping yourself up and then you're making promises to yourself and keeping them, I feel like that puts you in a really good position to kind of fake it till you make it vibes situations. Like sometimes we just have to do that because there's really no other option and there's no other way to operate in the moment. And you're just like, what the heck am I doing? I'm just gonna have to fake it till I make it. And I feel like the more times you do that, the more just comfortable and confident you get in those situations anyway.
Yeah, because you learn to trust yourself. And then if you're in an uncomfortable situation, you can just trust that it's gonna be okay. You're gonna see someone you know. You're going to follow through with yourself, with your promises. And I think just genuinely believing in yourself will create more genuine confidence and that exudes off the screen. And people are attracted to confidence. People want to be around.
I feel like people can tell when someone's confident. And it is attractive. And people will gravitate towards you. And like if you just have that positive, you know, exciting energy because you're confident, then that's going to draw people in, which I feel like could potentially draw in just different opportunities because you never know who you're networking with. So that is something to always remember and to just not be afraid to put yourself out there just in general in the industry in every aspect, whether that's making new friends, whether that's pitching brands and like just not waiting for them to reach out to you. Brands, PR companies, anything like events, PR, like truly, I feel like when we started, brands, I feel like would be more pitching, but now I kind of feel like it's flipped where like you have to be pitching yourself because brands have a certain number of opportunities and they're going to go with creators who they know, who have, you know, performed well in the past and who has pitched them recently and they're top of mind. They're not gonna really, I feel like, be going out of their way to fill their campaign. So just truly putting yourself out there and negotiate. And my favorite mantra is, you don't get what you don't ask for. And I feel like I truly just live by this. And the worst thing truly is they're just going to say no. And like, okay, on to the next. Like,
on
close to the next. Door. Onto the next door. Like, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and what is meant to be will find you. So truly, like, nothing bad is gonna come from asking. And so I just feel like that's why that's my favorite mantra, because
yeah,
I feel like it's just very motivating for me, especially in this kind of industry. So yeah,
agree. Next, I think this is a really important one for people just starting out and just in general. Mm-hmm. Just remembering that what works for someone else does not mean it's going to necessarily work for you. So just because you see someone's video go viral or a certain type of video go viral, if you do the same thing, it's not going to necessarily go viral for you. Everyone's audience is so different, and people follow you for specific reasons usually. So finding out what that reason is very important. And just like not copying people. I feel like it's so obvious when someone is just trying to hop on a trend, especially because I feel like viral videos now are reaching literally everyone. Like, viral videos now reach like 20 million people. Like, we all see it, you know. You just don't want to like hop on every single thing. That doesn't like necessarily make sense for your brand and for your audience and for your content.
Yeah, I feel like it can be hard, and it can be very tempting, because it's like, oh my gosh, this did so well for this person. Like, I've been kind of in a slump lately. Maybe I should just do that. But if it's something so out of pocket that you've never really done for you before, I feel like it might probably is not going to work, unfortunately, because that's just not what your audience is looking for. And I feel like viral moments, they're definitely fun, but there's not a lot of sustainability to it. So I feel like there's definitely pros and cons of virality. And just know that it's not all rainbows and butterflies, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good to keep perspective on it, because, you know, someone could be going viral, but it could, you have no idea what that means. It could be viral, you know, unfortunately to all men. And that is just not something kind of we want for our demographics. So it's like, you know, that could happen. And then it's like, you could be gaining a lot of followers from that, but like, that's not really the goal. So it like looks like someone is having this amazing viral moment, but you never know what's going on the backside. So again, I feel like it's one of those things where it's good to just keep your blinders on and do what works for you, do what your audience likes and what they really respond to. And like, you'll find your thing that makes you go viral. It could be immediately, it could be in 2 years, like, you never know. But I feel like I truly believe that like everyone kind of has their moment. And so if your moment isn't right now, like, that is okay. Your moment will come. You know what I mean? And that's what I feel like I tell myself, and I try to like tell other people, just like, again, stay on that roller coaster, stay buckled in, because your up is coming.
Yeah.
You just never know when. I feel like it's just kind of good to remember that in terms of things going viral, and just knowing your audience and just knowing who you are and being authentic to you. I feel like authenticity is so important when it comes to this platform, because nowadays there's so many creators that people can follow, and I feel like people can tell when people are being fake or they're forcing things or they're just not being authentic. It very
and people
much
will
comes
call you
off.
Out. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I feel like it's so important these days in social media. Like, there's no point in trying to fake something in that way. Yes, we're faking confidence.
Yeah.
So we have confidence, but we are not faking it what we post, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think just like at the end of the day, don't copy people. I think Unless, and if you are going to do something very similar, I do think giving credit is worth it. Like, yeah. Of course, there's the debate of, oh, well, no idea is a new idea. Oh, well, you know, someone did it first, but so many people are recreating it. Like, I think it goes a long way when you credit a creator who you got inspiration from. Yeah. Like, it doesn't hurt anybody. And I feel like it just, honestly, like, whenever I see someone do that, I am just like, respect. Like, that seriously, so legit. Same. Like, same. That they talk to the creator. Like, because I feel like you said, people will call you out. And even if you had no idea that maybe someone did this idea, like, people are savage in the comments.
Yeah, people are days. Seriously savage. So, just put, and like, if you are gonna kind of take inspiration, at least put your own spin that is so unique to your branding and just makes sense. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like stealing content being stolen is like a big thing now. I think Pinterest is starting to do stuff to protect it on Pinterest because it's wild on Pinterest. And I actually think Instagram is starting to do that, but not in this way. It's like literally people stealing people's photos, but
We'll see, because I feel like on Instagram, for me, like, people take my videos and then they make them dark and then they put their own text over it and then they like use it on their freaking
That is true.
So I don't get like how Instagram is gonna patrol that, but like sometimes the accounts will tag me and I'm like, honestly, like, respect. Like, that is so respectful. So, and if I'm bored and I have time that day, I will submit copyright reports on accounts that I find using my content that aren't tagging me. So it just depends. But yeah, at the end of the day, just do what works for you. And again, staying in your lane, keeping your blinders on, slow and steady wins the race. I feel like all these things are really good kind of, I mean, we talked about videos being like an actual tip you can use, but I feel like these overall general tips are so, so important when going about social media. And I feel like that kind of relates to our last point here, which is just be nice to people in general. I feel like there's so many mean people out there in the world, especially hiding behind fake accounts, like fake profiles. Like, at the end of the day, I think being nice goes such a long way, and you never know how that's gonna pay off. And I feel like, I don't know, we talk about this and like how just being nice to brand reps, because it is another human on the other side of the computer and they have feelings too. Like, and you never know where they're going to go. Like, this brand rep that you just burned a bridge with could potentially get a job with your dream brand next week. And then guess what? Guess who's not working with their dream brand because they weren't nice. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, there's just no point in being rude and mean. And like, yes, we can get frustrated at things sometimes and not like how things are going or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, this is our business. We have to be professional. And there are just other people involved in this. And I don't know. I just will never understand not being nice. Yeah, like
thinking you're above just being a nice person.
Or like you're better than everyone.
Yeah.
Like you're not. Like you're entitled to something. Like, there was a period where I feel like it was like this thing where influencers were asking people to move from like a table so that they could take a photo in that spot. And I'm just like, that is just so crazy to me that like you think that like just because you want a photo, you're going to just like ask someone to move and like expect them to give up their seat. Like, I don't know. I just feel like read the room.
And
be just nice.
Yeah, and like networking is such a huge thing in this industry. Like, it is so huge. This entire industry is like built on networking, essentially. So just always kind of have that in mind, but also like genuinely be a good person. I don't know.
Right.
Like nice people attract nice things. You just want to put good energy out there and get good energy back. So just be nice and don't think you're above smaller creators ever. Like,
because you were at that point once before too.
Yes. I'll never understand that. Like, sometimes you just encounter people who just, I don't know, they're just not friendly or approachable, and maybe sometimes that's social anxiety, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, we know deep down that it's anxiety and insecurities, but it's like, we gotta keep that in check, because you never know what someone is going through. You just never know anyone's backstories, what they did to get somewhere. Like, I don't know. It's just like crazy, because it's like at the end of the day, being nice will get you so much further than being a mean girl. And I feel like people talk in this industry, like people know, and it's like there's just no reason to not be nice. Especially when this is your business, this is your brand, this is your image and your reputation kind of all tied into one. Mm-hmm. So being nice is just will get you so much further, truly so much further. And just like networking and saying hi to people and introducing yourself or whatever. Like those are the things I feel like people remember. Like I feel like I remember when people come up to me at events and say hi, because you're just like, whoa, like I can't believe you can make someone's day by saying hi. And it's just such a simple, easy task. But it's like, it seems like these days, like that's not the normal thing. Like when we go to LA sometimes, it is a wild, wild place. And like sometimes people are just wild. Yeah. So it's like doing these nice things can just make you stand out, and you never know who's watching and you never know who you're talking to. You could be like, you know, talking to the brand rep and you have no idea. So at the end of the day, just be a nice person, be kind, kindness matters. And I feel like all these things we mentioned, truly, I feel like will get you so far in this industry, even if your growth is slow and steady. By doing kind of these things, this will help you be so much more successful. And I feel like these things will also help you stand out against other creators. Because I feel like if you're like a nice creator who's easy to work with, like a brand is going to want to work with you over someone who's not very nice, not easy to communicate with, and who, you know, doesn't really care about what they're doing. Like people can tell, brands can tell, like, I don't know. So yeah, at the end of the day,
I feel like also these tips are, I just feel like I see so many, like, this is exactly the roadmap to grow on Instagram. Post 3 posts a week, 5 reels a week, and then 3 stories a day. Like, you see that everywhere, but this is like the BTS behind the scenes. This is what it takes and what we're really thinking about.
This is like the real growth. This is like,
like aside real from stuff obviously matters. We're all posting pretty content. If you're listening to this podcast, like I'm sure your content is stunning, honestly. So we got that down already. Okay. We have the basics, but like this is the BTS. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe go through and kind of think about how you're applying these different things into your content, to your strategy, and just mental health things. And I feel like this could be a good check-in, whether you've been in this industry for a while or you are newer. These are things, again, like you said, that like people aren't mentioning every day. Like, sure, you can go on Threads, you can go on TikTok, you can go talk to a Meta specialist, whatever. They're all gonna say the same thing.
Yeah,
they're all gonna say do these posts, but like this is the back end of running your business and things that I feel like if we knew when we started, it would have helped us so much. Granted, this information wasn't really available when we started, but if it was, I feel like it would have helped us skip a lot of, I don't want to sound dramatic, but like painful experiences. Not like painful, but like hard or like tough.
Yeah, like get us from point A to point B a lot faster.
A little faster, a little better. So this is what we would share with ourselves now if we were starting in the industry, and it's just things that people aren't really talking about. So hopefully this episode has inspired some of you guys, and that's always the goal. We want to help as many of you as possible and maybe just change, you know, one person's day. So that's always the goal, and we love you guys so much. Do you want to share our listener of the week this week?
Yes, our listener of the week is Anna Marie Hope. Her Instagram handle is AnnaMarieHope, so just how it's spelled. Anna is such a sweet new listener. She shared us on our story a few times, and that just means the world to us, truly. It was so sweet what she said, and we're so happy that you are a new listener and listening, Anna, so thank you. She's also just stunning, and her makeup is beautiful, so go check her out. We appreciate the love, so shout out to you, Anna.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you, Anna. We always appreciate the shares. They seriously make our day, and they mean more to us than you guys know. So we love you guys so much. Hope you guys have an amazing week this week. August can slow down now. Thank you. I feel like our trip in September is coming up so quickly, and we just have so many things we have to talk to you guys about before we do that. Dare I mention fall? I'm so excited. I am that girl. I'm ready for fall. Goodbye, summer. Hello, fall. But yeah, hope you guys have an amazing week, and we will chat in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.